suggesting that, you know, Google might have had a bit of a role in the. Do you know what? I think Sarah's just gone out with the young people. Do you know, in the cafe church, she had Google open during the quiz. And do you know the question she was looking up? She got it wrong. But you know, this is a story here from the Bible with tragic roots, really. And we can see how bad feeling and conflict can grow and lead to even greater problems. We think about stories we hear today of family favoritism, which is something we hear about in the world today. Jacob and Esau were the sons of Isaac and Rebekah, the first twins mentioned in the Bible. Even before they were born, they were struggling together in the womb of their mother. And we read it in Genesis 25, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. The two nations from within you will be separated. One will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. And later in chapter 25, we read about how Esau, as the eldest son who should have been entitled to the birthright, sells his birthright for a plate of dinner. Esau despised his birthright. We see the seeds of conflict being sown here between these two sons. The boy is already jostling in the womb, and here we have a word given about how there were two nations that would struggle against one another. One would be stronger, and the older would serve the younger. A divine plan which has begun with the call of Abraham. But you might ask the question, why Jacob instead of Esau? Well, it's been suggested that Esau, he had a preference for hunting and had hairy skin, indicated a more brutal nature. Don't know about that. However, we could hardly describe Jacob as being a picture of virtue himself. In the passage that we'll go on to look at, we see very mixed personalities from both of them, a tale of deception. The suggestion that Esau might be more impetuous, more short-sighted, and his hunger leads him to sell his birthright. However, we also see Jacob looking to entrap his brother. Esau despises his birthright and he's taken over by his earthly desires. Perhaps when he comes in from hunting and he's hungry, he's not provided for an unsuccessful hunt. He convinces himself he's about to die. It seems like a ridiculous exchange, doesn't it? What a mug. Sell your birthright and your inheritance for a plate of dinner. And the seeds of it are sown. And we come to our first reading now in chapter 27 and verses 1 to 13.
When Isaac was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his oldest son, and said to him, my son. Here I am, he answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man, and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left to the open country to hunt,
Jacob,
look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him, and will bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me.
Thank you.
No.
Okay. We see the deception begin here already. Isaac, the father, his favourite son, Esau, and for Rebekah, the son she favours, Jacob. Rebekah reacts straight away but to try and make sure Jacob gets his father's blessing. Isaac, whose eyes are weak, his eyesight's fading, knows that his time is short and wants to give his blessing to Esau. Perhaps Rebekah tries to justify this to herself. It's in God's will in any case, so what does it matter? Have you ever tried to justify something like that? The end justifies the means. We could debate that for a long time. We could say, after all, we're just encouraging God's will to take place, making sure it's okay, maybe just doing our bit. After all, God uses us in our weaknesses. It's a mess from the start. We see the favoritism in this family, the division it causes between the husband and wife, and then amongst the children as well. Like the way Rebekah overhears the conversation. Just couldn't help overhear what was going on. Conflict over favourite sons, a plan to deceive, and a blatant outright lie in the end. Jacob gets his inheritance, but hardly through noble circumstances. The scheming of Rebekah and Jacob's lying makes it very difficult to say one character is good and one is bad. What is going on here? Perhaps Rebekah feels that she needs to step in to try and force what she sees as God's promise, to try and make it happen. Have you ever done that? As the mother's scheme unfolds, this deception is performed against a backdrop, which when we read further on in the Bible, can see this is not what God would approve of. Exodus 20, verse 16, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Jacob obtains the inheritance, obtains his father's blessing, but hardly in a way in which God would want him to. We see this sort of scheming taking place here, the plans that go on. And then we come to our next reading, which is from verses 14 to 25.
"So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, 'My father.' 'Yes, my son,' he answered. 'Who is it?' Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing.' Isaac asked his son, 'How did you find it so quickly, my son?' 'The Lord your God gave me success,' he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not.' Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, 'The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. 'Are you really my son Esau?' he asked. 'I am,' he replied. Then he said, 'My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing.' Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some of the wine and he drank."
Thank you. We sense a bit of suspicion here on the part of Isaac. A bit like a parent who's asked their child to go and tidy their room and they come back 30 seconds later and say, "That was quick." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" And the response of Jacob here, "The Lord your God gave me success." You notice something here? A lie has no legs. Once one lie has been told, the only way it can be supported is when another one gets told to back it up. We notice there's already deception going on here. There's already Rebekah trying to trick Isaac. Once Jacob's joined in with this, to carry it on, he has to keep going. It doesn't stack up that he has gone away and come back so quickly, so he has to explain it somehow. We've probably all been there, haven't we? A lie has no legs. It has to be supported by another lie. Has anyone here heard of Howard Walmsley? Anyone heard of him? Well, 20 years ago, he was concerned that his wife was going to leave him due to their financial problems, so he told her that he'd won the lottery. And he was going to sort of then, after a while, he was going to say, we only won a few £1,000, enough to pay off our debts. The trouble was, she looked up and found out that if he had won the lottery on the day he said he was, he'd won the jackpot, £8.9 million. And he didn't really know what to do, so he kept lying. He was forced to lie to his friends and family, which meant he was writing out checks and things, until eventually he got caught. You see, one lie led to another. There was no way he could carry that on without continuing it with further lies. And Isaac wants to touch him to check that he really is Esau, and finally he falls for it, and Jacob gets the blessing. We sense a suspicion already. Once he's touched him and seen that his skin was hairy, he's happy to go ahead and give him the blessing. We're going to jump now to verse 30 to 37. Yeah. 30, yeah. After Isaac
finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, my father, please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing. His father, Isaac, asked him, who are you? I am your son, he answered, your firstborn, Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and a bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he had taken advantage of me. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him Lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?
Thank you, Matthew. The lie is discovered here, and we see how the problems escalate now. The hurt which is being felt in the family is exposed. The difficulties that are being experienced are as a result of the deception that's taken place. We've probably all been there, finding out that someone has been tricking us and lying to us. It's not a good feeling. It says Isaac's voice trembled violently. He feels angry, perhaps stupid, that he's been fooled. He had his suspicions, and now those have been confirmed. Sometimes we get that feeling when we know we've been tricked, when we uncover what was going on and we think, I should have seen it coming. Those are probably the thoughts of Isaac. I should have seen this coming. How damaging this must have been. The knowledge that it was his own family, his own wife and his own son who had tricked him. We've all been there when we've tried to trick someone, to deceive someone, or to tell something that's not quite true. Do we ever consider how they might feel when they found out? We see here a whole chain of damage has been created. Now, Richard, if you'd like to read just to the end from verse 38.
Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of a blessing of his father had given him. He said to himself, The days of my mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living."
We see the anger which builds up from all this and the effects which are far reaching, how one problem leads to another. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob." Esau now holds a grudge against Jacob and wants to kill him. See, no one's looking good here. We see this whole trail of deception, trail of lies, but also the difficulties that there are and the way things are being ripped apart in this family. No one is looking good here. People having their own desires, looking after their own desires. Rivalry between the parents, rivalry between the brothers. You could say they're copying what they see. And the consequence is now that Jacob is forced to flee for his life. Now ultimately we see later on they meet, they reconcile. But the trauma of what they had to go through, the result of all the deceit and bitterness of what was going on, that must have been difficult as well. We might look at it and say that in the end, God's will was done. The brothers meet up again later, but it was not a straightforward way of doing things. There were broken relationships, damaged relationships as well. And of course, there will always be damage to trust created by what had gone on. Trust can be very hard to rebuild once it's been broken. It can take a long time to build up, but can be broken in a second. But we know, when we look at this, what does it tell us about God? God is a God of love, but also of justice. And there were consequences to what happened for everyone in this passage. For us, there's consequences to our sin and our mistakes. And yet God wants to bring restoration to us all. God will restore. God can bring us to the place where he wants us if we trust in him. Ultimately, the purposes for Jacob might be fulfilled because God is a faithful God and a God of love. But he had to go on a difficult road to get there. For us, we can trust in God and know that his purposes will be fulfilled. We need to follow him and his ways and his word. But it should also encourage us, because we look at these characters here and realize how flawed they were, and yet God used them. The same way that God can use any of us. God can use any of us for his purposes. Maybe you're wondering today, can God possibly use me? Do I have anything to give? Maybe I've done too much in my life that's wrong for God to use me. Look at the way he brings his purposes about here. Look at the way he uses people. Let us consider, next time we're tempted, however small it may be, to trick someone, to deceive someone, are we prepared to consider the consequences? Consider the effects of damaged trust. But also, we should be encouraged to know that God is a God of love. And God is a God who can use anyone. God is a God whose purposes will not be thwarted. Shall we pray? Father God, we give you thanks for your word here. We pray that you would bless each one of us. But Father, I pray for anyone here, any of us here who have relationships which may have been damaged by a lack of trust. We pray for you to bring healing, for you to bring restoration, and there to be that openness and honesty. And Father, we give you thanks that you have shown here you could use any of us. And that all of us in the different places that we're going to, you can use us in ways that may seem small, but can make a big difference for you. So we give you thanks for all that you give to us and for the way that you want to use all of us as well. Amen. I'm going to ask the group to come back and lead us through a time of worship as we come into close of our service today.